Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.
So I'm just trying to figure out when exactly the trial for Bill Clinton will be starting, right? Because apparently if you pay to have someone not disclose your inappropriate sexual relationship, that is a crime. Or at least it is according to Alvin Bragg. So I'm just kind of waiting. I mean, I presume that Bill Clinton, who paid numerous times to have his affairs silenced, Paula Jones, McDougal, I'm guessing that there must be a DA somewhere who want to press some charges, no? I think, you know, there's no limitations on charges of sexual misconduct, are there? You just can't make that. The big news, oh my God, the big news yesterday and the big news today was that Donald Trump fell asleep in court, fell asleep again today in court. And apparently Maggie Haberman, who's just the most important person in the world to her mother, yesterday reported that Donald Trump had fallen asleep in court, and today he glared at her, according to her. Actually, when you think about it, and of course I did think about it quite a bit, who wouldn't fall asleep in this trial, this sort of sham trial, where they're doing jury selection? Now, anybody who says that they don't have a some kind of determination about Donald Trump's character is a liar. They're just a liar. Now, you either like the guy or hate the guy. That's it. There's no other in between. I never heard of the guy. I'm not sure what the guy is like. Everybody has heard of the guy. Everybody knows. The only people who haven't heard of him are probably the illegal immigrants who have come in during the last, like, you know, 2 or 3 years, right? I don't think they could serve on a jury. Of course, I may be wrong. New York is so odd. They may have special dispensation for illegal immigrants to serve on juries. Just don't know. So apparently that's very big news. CNN contributor Norman Eisen tweeted today, Trump is asleep again at about 11 o'clock. And his account was corroborated by others on site. So meanwhile, there's a gag order on Donald Trump, but the reporters seem to have nothing better to do. They're not listening to the jury selection questions. No, they're tweeting. MSNBC's Yasmin, I can't pronounce her last name, nor do I care to, passed along contributor Lisa Rubin's observation of Trump as having his eyes closed and leaning to the left. This is major news. You know, Maggie Haberman's report that he was nodding off, major news. It became a source for mockery from the media and, of course, from the campaign of President Joe Biden. Joe Biden, who falls asleep standing in front of a press group. Joe Biden, who can't stay on task, but the press doesn't care about that. They don't write anything negative. Not at all. Hit it out of the ballpark. That's what he gets if he falls asleep on his feet. But good. The more media coverage of this trial, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Because by now, a lot of the American public is looking at all of this and thinking, this is just eminently disgusting and unfair. So keep on. Judge Juan Merchan, who is presiding over this criminal trial of a former president charged with 34 counts of falsifying business records because of a hush money payment to Stormy Daniels, with whom he had an affair before the 2016 election. course, Donald Trump said I didn't do that, didn't have the affair, and I paid legal fees to Michael Cohen. I wasn't paying hush money, which, by the way, believe it or not, it's never been a crime before, even if it is a crime. Nobody's ever been prosecuted for this that I know of, at least not Bill Clinton. But hey, all the rules change when we're talking about Donald Trump. I get that. And that is why, much to their displeasure and chagrin, the more they do like this, the more his supporters dig in and the more people become his supporters. You know, now the judge is warning that if he doesn't show up to court every single day, meaning if you dare to go to your son's graduation, I'm going to throw you in jail. You'll be arrested. I just don't see that happening. Do you? According to MSNBC Vice President of Editorial and Booking, Jesse Rodriguez, Mershon told Trump, if you do not show up, there will be an arrest. Might be an arrest of the judge. Among the court developments at this early stage of the trial, the prosecution also sought to hold Trump in contempt if he violates the gag order. So everybody can talk. Michael Cohen can go on television, on MSLSD, on CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, whatever he wants, and say absolutely despicable things about Donald Trump, throw him under the bus, and there's no problem. But if Donald Trump responds in any way, then he has violated what I would consider an illegal gag order, an unconstitutional gag order. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't think you're going to find much sympathy from people. I think most of them are pretty disgusted by what they're seeing. Now he's being accused of intimidating a juror. There are no jurors. They're having jury selection, right? So what juror exists? None. This is the first time we've ever seen anything like this. And it's just so bizarre. And watching them, the media, do what they're doing leads me to believe that we can no longer trust anybody. Certainly nobody in the mainstream media. Can't trust them. They're liars. Intimidating a juror. I'm trying to figure out, like, where exactly would he have had an opportunity to intimidate a juror? No jurors were selected from the dozens that they screened. He made a face? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what they're talking about. Trump's lawyer, Alina Haba, she said, you're not even allowing a father, never mind a former president, but a father to attend his son's graduation. You can't make that decision now. You have to wait and see how far along in the trial we are. You can't tell me that any decent human being, and let's face it, there's not a lot of decent human beings in New York. There, I said it. It's my hometown. But it's a disgusting place, full of disgusting people. And apparently, they're no longer have to play by any of the same rules that people like you and I have to play by, nor are their expectations the same as your and my expectations. If Donald Trump didn't want to go to Barron's graduation, how do you think the media would respond? If Donald Trump said, no, no, my trial is more important than my son's graduation, what do you think the mainstream media's reaction to that would be? Glee, as they lambasted him for being a terrible human being and a terrible father. But because he does want to go, well then, he'll have to be thrown in jail.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
You can't tell me that this is going to work for them. Get them out. Lock them up. That's what one of the prospective jurors wrote on social media last night. Do they really think that's going to fly? I'm just, at the very least, I'm predicting a mistrial. At the very best, I'm predicting a conviction followed by an appeal and the whole thing being turned upside down. Those are my two predictions. Donald Trump is not going to jail because Alvin Bragg is trying to raise a lot of money for his reelection campaign as possibly the worst district attorney in the history of New York. And that's a pretty tall mountain to climb. Well, it's not as tall as California. Boy, I'll tell you, San Francisco and L.A., they got nothing on Alvin Bragg. But that's what's going on in the world of the left. It's just, it's so crazy to me. And I keep watching thinking like, well, come on, people are going to, they're going to revolt, right? I mean, there was a headline, I think it was on Drudge today, which website I was looking at, that said Trump convicted by Memorial Day. So they already convicted him. You know, the media gave a better break to the Boston Marathon bomber. They wouldn't convict him. The alleged. It's never the alleged Donald Trump. It's always, oh, he'll be convicted in this hush money trial. I hate that expression, hush money trial. By Memorial Day? Really? The prosecutors and the lawyers on Donald Trump's side are starting to challenge jurors because does anybody really believe that there's anybody who hasn't already made a decision on this case? And today the judge rebuked the president because he was speaking to his attorney when a juror was being questioned. I've been in jury selections. I was called to jury duty, you all may remember, and it was the trial of the Parkland lunatic. And it wasn't the murder of those innocent children and staff at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. It was a subsequent trial for his punching a guard or something like that. I don't even remember. But I got called in there, and the attorneys were talking to him the entire time that the jury selection was going on. The entire time. And he was looking at all the jurors. What was he supposed to do? See, if Donald Trump is sleeping, that's no good. If he's looking at the juror, that's no good. If he's talking to his lawyer, that's no good. This guy can do nothing right. This is such a sham, and the people know it. They just know it. There are only 18 prospective jurors left out of the initial pool of 96. And then, of course, the Judge Mershon said that he had a potential juror that needed to be further questioned about a video she posted on Facebook of people celebrating around the time of the 2020 election. Once the juror left the room, Mershon said Trump was audibly muttering and gesturing while the prospective juror was speaking. The judge told Trump's lawyer to speak to him about his behavior. I will not have any jurors intimidated in this courtroom. Only allowed to intimidate the defendant. He didn't say that, but that's what's going on. In questioning some of the jurors earlier today, the Manhattan assistant DA, Joshua Steinglass, said the case was not a referendum on Trump's presidency. The case is really not about whether you like Donald Trump. This case is about the rule of law and whether Donald Trump broke it. Come on, guys. We're talking about a possible affair and a non-disclosure agreement with a cash settlement. We're not stupid out here. This is political. And that makes us sick and nervous about our future. Don't forget to download the 850 WFTL app. That way you can have all this great breaking news right on your cell phone or on your laptop. And if you don't want to do that, just visit our website so you can participate in all the contests and get all the breaking news stories. It's 850WFTL.com. I'm going to take a quick break and I will be right back. So I'm going to move away from talking about the stupid trial because really, Donald Trump is immune and the normal rules just don't apply to him. He just gets stronger and it's fascinating. It really is. It's unclear how many Americans would switch their vote if President Trump were convicted of this case and others. He's the Teflon Don, right? And in many respects, he's just immune. Anyone else, even if there was an indictment, they'd have to resign. He just gets stronger. It's fascinating. Court-ordered, gag orders, multiple indictments. And once again, he beat all his Republican primary competitors by huge margins. He's ahead of President Biden in polling when you go head-to-head. And look, it may be a thin margin of victory in the general election. That's what some people are predicting. But it's a margin of victory. His reputation among voters is set, whether he gets to campaign or not. I don't think that this trial or any of the trials is going to change things very much, even if he's convicted. I do think that somehow, if they were to procure a mistrial, which is what I'm saying, that could help him because it would just be so odd. I don't think it would change anybody's opinion about his character, but it might shift a little bit of the framing around the nature of the lawsuit so that people who didn't support him would now have an opportunity to. But the real news, believe it or not, is that there is a war raging. And apparently we're not supposed to talk about it. We're supposed to keep talking about this trial. But Iran just closed down its nuclear facilities because they are fearful that Israel is going to attack them. This is according to some report out of the United Nations today. Inspectors were blocked from the sites on Sunday. The UN International Atomic Energy Agency chief is a guy named Rafael Grossi, was not allowed in. The shutdown came because the war cabinet in Israel hasn't finished their talks yet. They're trying to decide how they're going to respond to the attack on its territory. Now, I don't think anybody doubts that Iran is on the threshold of becoming a nuclear power and could probably build a bomb in less than a year. Uranium enrichment is accelerating. And there is not a whole lot of evidence that the Islamic Republic wants to create a nuclear bomb right now because Israel believes it's going to do it and is prepping. Now, I don't know that they had planned an attack on the nuclear facility, but when you see it being shut down in this manner, when the UN inspectors in Iran are informed by the government that all the nuclear facilities they're inspecting every day are closed on security considerations and that they're going to reopen them on Monday, next week, let me tell you something. These inspections are a legacy of that stupid Iran nuclear deal, which exchanged the sanctions relief for curbs and monitoring of the program so that Tehran would not be able to get a bomb without everybody knowing about it. Just this year, they found Iran was scaling up the production of nuclear fuel and that they had approached the weapons-grade uranium that they were seeking. They also found newly installed equipment, even faster speeds of uranium enrichment, and an expansion. They were going to double the output. So trust me, for them to shut down, they're getting intelligence. They're sitting on the threshold of nuclear weapons. They can probably build a bomb more quickly than at any other point in their history. And Israel just has to take out a few of those facilities and it's game over for them. So we'll see. All you're hearing and all that Joe Biden is hearing is that there must be no escalation. The world will not tolerate an escalation. Meanwhile, the best comment of the day was Zelensky, who said, well, look, as long as the U.S. and these other countries are shooting drones and cruise missiles out of the sky for Israel, how about doing it for us? Kind of an interesting take on the matter. But here we are. The Islamic Republic has said there'll be a severe and a painful response if Israel retaliates. Really? So in other words, this retaliation on Iran's part because of the killing of generals who were responsible for the killing of Israelis, that we should just ignore and allow. But they better not respond, even though attacks were actually sent from Iran, not from the proxies, but from Iran. And every attempt was being made to penetrate Israel's airspace or overwhelm their air defenses. They have a nuclear program, my friends. And if you think that Bibi Netanyahu is not extremely concerned, well, then you haven't been paying attention. I don't think at this point he gives a good golly wally what Joe Biden or the Anthony Blinken or Lloyd Austin, any of these people, or Chuck Schumer, none of these people matter to Bibi Netanyahu right now. The hardliners in Israel are telling him to go berserk. He's under a lot of pressure from these hardliners, and those are the people in his own Likud party and the hard right ministers. They want him to go berserk. That was the word. Even though they have fears, everybody has fears of this war escalating into a regional conflict, but the launch of so many missiles, cruise missiles and drones into Israeli territory must be met with a response. You can't just tolerate that. You can't just say, okay, we're sorry we killed some generals. No, that was a direct attack on Israel. And if this government gives in to Joe Biden's demands, if the Bibi Netanyahu government gives in to Biden's demands that they cease, well then, Iran grows stronger, and the Middle East becomes a hotbed, as if it weren't already, of terrorists, all looking to make a name for themselves by attacking Israel proper. And I've told you 100 times, Israel is who they say they want and who they're coming after, but it's not Israel. It's us. This is our war, whether we like it or not. This is a war against Western civilization, whether you want to see it that way or not. And anybody who still wants to play this stupid game of, oh, we shouldn't allow them to escalate, we should withhold funding, don't give them money to strengthen the Iron Dome. Let them, you know, if they want to fight, let them fight. Anybody who says that is sick. This is our war. Because if they were successful at destroying Israel and they became even more powerful in the Middle East, there'll be nothing but wars there. You think the UAE, and do you think that Saudi Arabia, and do you think even the Lebanese, what's left of Lebanon, are just going to let Iran run roughshod over them? No, that's not going to happen. So I'm with the cabinet. If I were Bibi Netanyahu, I would not listen to Benny Gantz. I would not call for restraint. I'd call for go berserk. Every Israeli are going to rue for years, every minute that they didn't attack Iran. Because if the government is led by cowards, it will be guilty of the inferno, God forbid, that will be afflicted on Israel in the future. They are surrounded by their enemies. This cannot go unanswered. All right, let me take a quick break. You stay right where you are. I'll be right back. So you just have to face the fact that this is our war. It's not just Israel's war. And this is going to be a very important time. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm a student of history. And whenever you see Jews get targeted the way they're being targeted right now, it's not long before there is, well, a pogrom. That's just the reality. And so I was watching these newscasts online of these pro-Palestinian protesters all across the country that closed down the Golden Gate Bridge for hours. I mean, these people like chained themselves to drums filled with concrete. They closed down roadways. They closed down airports, big ones like Chicago O'Hare. There were people trying to get on flights in Chicago that had to get out of their Uber, drag in their suitcases, and walk to the airport. Because these demonstrators, I don't even know what to call them. You see, when American citizens walk through open doors at the Capitol building, they've been languishing in jail, even before a trial. But when people shut down airports, the Golden Gate Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge, when the people cause major traffic jams and disruption across the country, people can't get to work, emergency vehicles can't get to the injured. That apparently is not the same. It's not as bad, right, as some people walking through the Capitol building and basically not doing anything. Didn't hold up anybody, didn't hit anybody. The only people who got hurt were Ashley Babbitt and other supporters of Donald Trump's. But if you snarl the traffic in the San Francisco Bay Area for hours, all the vehicle, all the pedestrian, all the bike traffic on that Golden Gate Bridge stopped for hours. These people literally chained themselves to 55-gallon drums filled with cement across I-580. I think it's 880. I don't remember what it's called, in Oakland. You're talking about a real danger to citizens. They arrested 20 protesters at the demonstration on the bridge. That's it, 20. Not the hundreds that they've arrested over January 6th. They made arrests at a spot about 300 protesters were there. They arrested one person. Attempting to block or shut down a freeway or a state highway to protest is not just dangerous, doesn't just prevent motorists from getting to their workplace or hospital ambulances getting to a hospital. It's unlawful. But apparently not unlawful enough. Further north on the West Coast in Eugene, Oregon, they shut down Interstate 5, the major highway, for almost an hour. And the Washington State Department of Transportation said that a demonstration that was near Seattle closed the road from Seattle to Tacoma International Airport. You saw all these posts on social media of people holding banners and waving Palestinian flags and burning American flags and shouting death to America. But apparently, that's not as bad as the January 6th protesters who showed up at the Capitol building. What am I missing here? I'm not missing anything, and neither are you. People who were protesting in Brooklyn and blocked traffic that was going into Manhattan on the Brooklyn Bridge, they're good guys. The January 6th patriots are not good guys. Chicago, where the protesters linked arms and blocked lanes of I-190. That's the road that leads into O'Hare International Airport. Started at 7 o'clock in the morning. That would seem to me to be a pretty important time to have access to the roadways. Nah, these are good guys. Not to mention, how organized was all this? The one thing you can't say about the January 6th protesters was that they looked organized. They looked totally disorganized. Most of them didn't even know what was going on. I'll never know, and I don't think any of us will ever know, how many of them were herded into the Capitol building by people who had really not nice motives, were looking to create a situation. But don't worry, because all the people who were shutting down traffic yesterday and endangering those people that lived in that area and those people that were trying to get into an airport, they're good guys. You see, they're calling for an immediate ceasefire halfway around the world. The level of anti-Semitism that I saw online last night, death to Israel, death to America, really is frightening. This never ends well. We have enough history now to look back upon and to see that pogroms and these kinds of demonstrations always end up with dead Jews. Sometimes 6 million of them. But these are good guys. So you can't talk about this. One of the busiest airports in the entire country gets shut down by people calling for an immediate ceasefire in the war between Israel and Hamas, in the war between Israel and the terrorists who killed innocent civilians on October 7th. These protesters are good guys. They've been protesting every day since October 7th in the Chicago area. They're not protesting Hamas that killed 1,200 people. No, no, no. They're protesting Israel, who responded to the acts against innocent civilians, the kidnappings, the rapes, the murders of babies. But those people that were shutting down airports and roadways yesterday are the good guys. You know, the Bible says that we'll know that it's getting close to the end when people say that good is evil and evil is good. We're there. We're there. They don't make any differentiation between civilians and combatants when the Gaza ministries tell you about casualties and fatalities, but we're supposed to believe that 33,700 Palestinians have died as a result of Israeli strikes. It doesn't pass the smell test. O'Hare Airport was telling people on X, formerly known as Twitter, to take alternative forms of transport because car travel would have caused so many delays that you would miss your flight. There were travelers that were stuck in traffic and literally walking the final leg to the airport along the freeway. I'm not talking about just on the entrance ramps, along the freeway, dragging their luggage behind them. Some woman from suburban Chicago said she was headed to O'Hare for a work trip to Florida when her and her husband's car ended up stalled for 20 minutes. They both got out and ran and speed walked more than a mile. She only made it to the gate with a minute to spare. Major inconvenience. But she was excusing them because these were good guys. This is a worthy cause, apparently. Hamas is a worthy cause. So a minor inconvenience of not being able to get to your workplace or not being able to get a patient to the hospital or not being able to pick up your kids from school, these are the good guys. And if you don't believe that, well, then welcome to my world. These are not good guys. These are organized groups of anti-American, anti-Jewish, you heard me, anti-Jewish people living in my country, in this country, who mean us no good. Death to America? Really? I don't remember the January 6th protesters ever saying death to America or death to anybody for that matter. But these are the good guys. Protesters. Shouting death to America. Burning American flags. Now, I understand we're allowed to burn American flags. You know, it's apparently part of our freedom of speech. Everybody's got freedom of speech right now except Donald Trump. You want to burn an American flag? Go ahead. You want to shut down an airport or a major highway? Go ahead. You're the good guys. But Donald Trump, who may have had an affair or may not have had an affair, we don't know. He's the bad guy. And these protesters are the good guys. The world is upside down. And you're going to be accountable for all this. You and me and our entire generation are going to be accountable one day. And they're going to ask us, my grandsons are going to say to me, how could you let this go on in this country? And I'm going to say, I did my best to allow people to understand what was really happening and to convince them to rise up. But I'm not allowed to say that. Oh, no, no, that makes me a bad guy, calling for some kind of violence. I don't want violence. I want an election that confidently puts Donald Trump back in the White House. That will be the best thing that I can do for future generations. And if you're with me, good. And if you're not with me, get out my way, okay? Don't forget, coming up after me, Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags. Hey, by the way, I heard that all these anti-Trump people like Sununu, they're all pro-Trump now. What's wrong with people? How do you go from, oh, no, 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 can't support Donald Trump, to, yeah, I support Donald Trump. I have never wavered, not since he walked down that golden escalator. And I never will. There's only one shot left to save this country, and it's sitting in a courtroom watching a jury selection while protesters are burning American flags and shouting death to America. You tell me who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, because if you are still believing what you're seeing on these networks, then you're now one of the bad guys. Let me take a quick break, and when I come back, we'll finish today's program. It's our war, too, and anybody who doesn't understand that really should look at. There's an article, an opinion piece that was on the JNS website today, the Jewish newspaper. And it was by a guy named Mark Weissman. And he said, anybody out there who doesn't understand that Hamas is a surrogate for Iran and Islamists and that Israel is a surrogate for us, for America, and the whole West? You're scared. He didn't say that, but I will. The Gaza war is not about Israel's survival alone. It's about our survival. Because what's going on in the Gaza Strip is way more consequential than most people seem to believe it is. Israel's destiny is our destiny. This is not a land dispute. It never was. It's the best example of the generational struggle between radical Islam and modernity. Because in it, Hamas is a surrogate for Iran and Israel is a surrogate for America. This is a winner-take-all struggle for Israel, but it's also a struggle for modernity. It's a struggle for Western culture. That means us, America and the West, which, by the way, includes Israel. We're at a crossroads in history. We used to fight for things like world order. In one corner, we had the cumulative, hard-learned cultural gains that the West had carved out of history by honing Judeo and Christian values in an uncivilized world. In the other is fundamentalist Islam, which has changed not a bit, very little, since the days of Muhammad 1,400 years ago. The Islamists emulate the worst their religion has to offer, the raping of women, the beheading of non-believers, non-believers of Islam, that is, the killing of Jews, and the absolute intolerance of infidels who either must convert to Islam or die. All of those are teachings in Islamic scripture from the Quran and the Hadith. Today, Muslim radicals are remnants of the despotic, misogynistic rulers and backward thinkings the people of Islam from a bygone era. They only have one goal, which is to impose fundamentalist Islam by defeating the West and expunging the blasphemy that is Judeo-Christian democracies, starting with Israel and ending with America. There's no live and let live with Islamists. And when people say to me, oh, well, the Bible has plenty of violent passages, the difference is that over the centuries, Jews and Christians have pretty much relegated those aspects of their scripture to history and promoted the lessons of tolerance and love for one fellow's man. That's what Christ was here for. After the October 7th massacre, we can't pretend anymore not to see how much ground we relinquished to them. We only need to view our televisions, our tablets, and our iPhones to see the cataplectic millions of Muslims and the happy idiot brainwashed Westerners scream death to the Jews, death to America. Those on the left are asking, how did we get here? Well, guess what? I told you a long time ago we were headed here and you didn't want to hear it. We got here by sleeping through unfettered immigration and decades-long anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, and anti-American propaganda funded largely by Arab money. I'll have more to say about this tomorrow, and unfortunately, the day after, and the day after, and the day after. So I thank you for your time this time until next time. My plan is to be back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock, if it be his will, and he delays his coming. What lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And by the way, our addition to the shutdowns yesterday was the Miami port. God bless you, God bless Israel, and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.